إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, yesterday somebody, one of my friends, Amir Alauddin, sent me a khutbah from one of the asatiza in Nigeria, which I want to share with you. I think it's a very beautiful khutbah which reminds us of some very important things. He begins by saying, every human is a slave. Every human is a slave. You are either a slave of your desires or a slave of Allah. You either live life by your rules or by the rule of Allah. How can the heart travel to Allah if it is chained by its desires? O son of Adam, sell this world for the hereafter and you win both. Sell the hereafter for this world and you lose both. And this is a quote from Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, sell, O son of Adam, sell this world for the hereafter and you win both. And sell the hereafter for this world and you lose both. Islam is not a buffet where you pick and choose what suits you. Don't obey your desires, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imprisoned is the one whose heart is imprisoned from Allah. Meaning that the heart is separated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Captured is the one who is captured by his or her desires. Fudail bin Ayyad, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great jurist and the great qadi, was asked, what do you find the strangest of all things? He says, and we need to listen to this very carefully, Fudail bin Ayyad, rahmatullahi alayhi, was one of the greatest and the wisest of the khudda, very big and very famous qadi. He was asked, what do you find the strangest of all things? And he said, the heart that knows Allah yet still disobeys Him. Ajib. The heart that knows Allah yet still disobeys Him. We say La ilaha illallah, but we still do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the basic thing of salah. I'm not even going into any complicated matters. Simple matter of salah. Then he continues and says, do not miss salah for the sake of people. You were born and will die alone. You will go to the grave alone. And you will be questioned alone on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Akhilla is the plural of Khalil. Khalil is the closest form of friendship. In Arabic, there are several words for friends. Khalil is somebody who is the closest in terms of friends. So Allah is saying, Al-akhilla yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu. The closest of friends on the day of judgment will become enemies to each other. Adu. Allah did not even say they will ignore each other. He said they will become enemies to each other. Illa al-muttaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all among the muttaqoon who will continue to be friends and whose hearts will be continued to be together when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So this ayat, it says, close friends, which is the akhilla, the people who are khalil, on that day will be enemies to each other except for the muttaqoon, except for the people who are righteous and who have taqwa. And then he continues to say, Fajr, you are asleep. Zuhr, you are busy. Asr, you are tired. Maghrib, you are watching TV. Isha, you are eating. You can dodge prayer, but not death. We prepare for uncertain matters in our life like marriage and so on. But do we prepare for the one event that is definitely going to happen, which is death? The first thing a slave will be held accountable for is salah. If we fall short on that, then we fall short on what's to come. Fajr, he says, do not fear missing sleep. Fear a day in which there will be no sleep. Expecting Jannah while neglecting Salah is like waiting for a train to arrive at the airport. It's a very good example. He said, expecting Jannah while neglecting Salah is like waiting for a train to arrive at the airport. Remember to pray Zuhr. Everyone dreams to be in Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Jannah, He said, Jannah is not obtained by your wishful thinking. In Surah An-Nisa. If you could hear the sound of the pens of the angels writing your name among those who remember Allah, you will die out of joy. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, may Allah bless him and fill his qabr with noor. There are some fantastic things which he has said. He said, if you could only hear the sound of the pens of the malaika writing your name among those who remember Allah, you would die of joy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are zakirin, who make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya is not a resting place. It is a testing place. The world is a prison for the believer and a jannah and a paradise for the unbeliever. This is the hadith from Muslim, where Rasulullah ﷺ said that the dunya is a sijnul mu'mineen wa jannatul kafirin. Nabi ﷺ said it is the prison for the mu'mineen and it is a jannah for the kafirin. Somebody came and asked this. He said to Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu, and that time this was the time of the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, so there was a lot of wealth and so on and so forth. And this man came to him, this non-Muslim, and Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu was mounted on a very expensive and very valuable horse, and he was dressed in a lot of finery. So this guy came, he held his bridle and he said to him, your grandfather said, Ad-Dunya Sijnul Mu'mineen wa Jannatul Kafirin. He said, but look at you and look at me. He said, look at you and look at me. So Sayyidina Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu said that in comparison to what Allah will give me, this is prison. And in comparison to what Allah will give you, that is what you have is Jannah. Allah Kareem. So very, very important for us, because many times we get carried away by this. We see people, oh my, look at him, look at this one, look at that one. Don't look at anybody, look at yourself. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We have contentment in the heart, this is Jannah. What Allah has given us. And inshallah al-musta'an, Allah will give us much better when we meet Him. And we have to do some things. I mean, this is, it's not complicated, very simple. If we just do those things, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us far more than what we have here. Again, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi said, he whom Allah has predestined to enter Jannah, the reasons which will cause his entrance shall spring from calamities. He whom Allah has predestined to enter the hellfire, the reasons which will cause his entrance will spring from lusts, from desires. So, calamity, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, we ask for Allah's protection from all calamities and tests. We don't ask for the calamity. We ask Allah to protect us and to give us Jannah without them. But I'm saying even where that happens, even where there is a calamity and so on, and sometimes what do we do? I mean, you know, people, we are majboor in that sense. That is a cause for Jannah, because the person gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will ask Allah more, he will be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, because he knows that this thing which has happened to me, whether it's an illness or whether it is some other form of thing, only Allah can do something, nobody else can do this. So he gets connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. So on the face of it, he is facing difficulty. There is a khutbah of mine, why do bad things happen to good people? On the face of it, he is facing difficulties. But actually, that difficulty is a means of opening the door of Jannah for him. Whereas people who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even Muslims, and we know the ayat from Surah Al-Araf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ.
People who disobey Allah and continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives them much more. Allah opens the doors for them. So on the face of it, you are saying, oh, look at this man, you know, he's involved in haram, he's doing all kinds of things, but he gets more money and more wealth and more influence and more this and more that.
That is a sign that the azab of Allah has already started on this person. And that's not my fatwa. These are the words of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh. Somebody asked him. They said, you say that somebody who obeys Allah will succeed, who disobeys Allah will fail. But this is not our experience. We see that people who are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are very successful. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh recited this ayat of Surah Al-An'am, which I recited just now. And he said, this is a sign that the azab of Allah has already started, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who continues to disobey despite warnings, Allah opens on him the doors of the heavens. He gives him more and more. He gives him more and more. You want to disobey Allah? Okay, take more. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ, and they will be grabbed. فَهُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, when they are in the middle of their enjoyment, they will be grabbed and then they will be broken in spirit. Meaning that such people will not even be given the tawfiq to make tawbah. May Allah protect us from this. So when we see people having more wealth and so on and so forth, this is not necessarily, I'm not saying every time somebody has wealth, this is azab. No. We have to see the actions of that person. If a person who is pious, who is muttaqi, who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives him more and he spends more and more in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Very good. May Allah make us among those. There is nothing romantic about poverty. May Allah give us more and more wealth and allow us to spend that more and more in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, if you find that people who are engaged in all kinds of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are getting wealth and so on, this is not a sign, this is not a good sign, this is a very bad sign. And that is what this Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah is saying. And then he quotes from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, get used to a rough life, for luxury does not last forever. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu also has many, many beautiful quotes. Do not be overly pleased by easy times. Verily, gold is tested for its purity by fire. Likewise, a righteous slave is tested by tribulations. It pains me to see born Muslims chasing the lifestyle of the disbelievers by drinking and clubbing and getting high and so on. Why do you think reverts run away from that life to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They had that life. Why are they coming to Islam? And Muslims are running behind this thing. He says, run back to your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, for his mercy overcomes his wrath. How long will the person be happy with this worldly life, knowing that his ultimate home is the grave? No matter how beautiful your face is, you will still be the food of worms when you are buried. Set aside your arrogance and remember your grave. Every single limb and organ in your body will speak and bear witness against every action you committed in this dunya. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, not a word is said except that there is a watcher by him ready to record it. In Surah Al-Qaf. This includes all that you posted. So all the messages and whatnot includes it. Hijab includes the way a person walks and talks and looks and thinks. All of these should be done modestly, and this applies to both men and women. Hijab is not just a piece of cloth on the head for the women. Hijab is a sense of approach to life itself, and it applies to men and women. He says, my dear sisters in Islam, cover up for the sake of Allah before it is too late, as today you are over the soil, but tomorrow you may be under it. Yes, hijab does not necessarily indicate your level of piety, but it is a fard. So regardless of what you say, you have to wear it. This is one of the big arguments. Hijab does not necessarily indicate this. Look at this girl, look at this woman, she is wearing a burqa, see what she is doing. Look at this man, he has a beard, so what he is doing. All of this is rubbish. Please understand this. Nobody said that the beard allows you to tell lies and cheat and so on and so forth. Nobody said the burqa does. If somebody is doing wrong, they are doing wrong. What does it mean? Does it mean therefore that for you it is not fard? No. What is fard is fard. What Allah made fard is fard. And let us follow that. Forget about others. Don't look at others, look at ourselves. Make tawbah,
not just for sins you have committed, but also for obligations you have not fulfilled. This is Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi says, make tawbah not just for the sins you have committed, but also for the obligations that you have not fulfilled. Including salat. I mean, praying is one thing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects our salah to have khushu and khudu. I mean, who can say, I mean, I'm talking about myself, who can say that my salah was 100% full of khushu and khudu? No. Even if thoughts go to good things, for example, one of the stories of Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, the story is that Imam al-Ghazali had a brother, his elder brother, who did not pray behind him. So this upset him very much. So eventually he went and complained to his mother. And he says, you know, he doesn't pray behind me and people make remarks and so on. And what's wrong with me? What's the harm if he prays behind me? So his mother called the brother and said, you pray behind him. What's the problem? So he said, Alhamdulillah, whatever you say. Next day, when Imam al-Ghazali is reading the salah, his brother is praying behind him. In the middle of the rakat, his brother walked off. So now people said, what happened to him? I mean, he is praying behind him, he leaves the imam and he goes away. I mean, this is... Now, incidentally, don't do that, even if you are there, because this is not correct. You cannot leave the imam. But anyway, he did this. So now Imam al-Ghazali got very upset. So he went to his mother back again. He said, now he did this. I mean, he wasn't praying, that was bad enough, now he does this. So the mother called him. He said, what happened to him? Why did he do that? His brother said, you ask him what was in his heart when he was leading salah. Yeah? So Imam al-Ghazali said, that is true. Allah gave him kashf. I was thinking about a particular masala which had not come to me, and I was thinking about that and I was solving it. Right? So he was not thinking of dunya or making money or something haram. He's talking about a matter of deen. See the reaction of the mother. So now she did not say, oh mashallah, what sons I have got. One of them has kashf, we can see what is in somebody's heart. Mashallah, you know, wali Allah. And the other one is doing fantastic masail of it. Their mother said, get out of here. She said, both of you are useless. Instead of khushu in salah, instead of concentrating on Allah, one is looking at what is in his brother's heart and the other one is solving masail of fiqh. She said, you should be ashamed of yourself. Go make tawbah. Hey, this is the issue of tarbiyah. Now don't ask me how do you get kashf and so on. I do not know. So don't worry. But the point I'm making is that seriously, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and forgive him and give him darajat. See how beautiful he says that it's not only should we make tawbah for sins, but make tawbah also for that which you do not fulfill, which you are obliged to fulfill. So even though I am praying, is my salah what Allah wants me to do? So we should make tawbah. Inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. If we make tawbah, Allah will forgive us. Inshallah, Allah will accept our salat. And so also it applies to, you know, our charity and this and that and so on and so on. When we are giving charity, can we say with purity that this was khalis, purely only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No other thought came in my mind. We cannot say that. We are weak. All kinds of thoughts come and this and that, and people feel, somebody says, mashallah, jazakallah khair, and we feel good. Oh, very nice. What to do? One of my shuyukh said, even if you feel good, that is a sin. So I said, Shaykh, please, don't even take me there. I mean, this is beyond me. So I'm saying, seriously, I mean, but you know, these are the standards, right? Inshallah, even if we don't reach that, at least we must know what the standard is. So we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. And then he says, I pray that the comfort of our graves exceeds the comfort of our beds. Ameen ya Rabbi, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to take our souls away when He is most pleased with us and make us of those who are always conscious of Him. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Wa nashhadu la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka Allahumma wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.